I can't really, I mean, maybe I could do it justice describing it, but can you describe the book? I mean, the first time I saw it, I actually wept. I mean, there were tears. Oh, wow. There were tears coming. You know, you see something like this, I'd never seen anything like this. So, first of all, just as a work of art, if there were no words in it, you know, this is something that you stop in the museum and you look at and you take out your notebook and you write down some notes about it. But the fact that Sam's poems were in there, and, you know, Sam's a dear friend, and this was a way of honoring him, to me, it was just stunning. So you start with the cover. Can you describe the object starting with the cover?
Yeah, sure. So I think that when you're looking at these books, oftentimes it's really important just to suspend your notion of what a book is, and to say, well, we're going to enter into a space where, yes, it's in a codex form, it's in a book form, but it does a lot of stuff that most books just don't. So for me, one of the things that I love about books is that they're an invitation to hold something in your hand. They're an invitation to multiple senses, not just our eyes. We're not just having a reading experience. And a lot of the information which is stored and then disseminated in that book is not simply semantic. So the cover of that book is a piece of maple. And this is from a tree that fell in Walla Walla in 2000, I can't remember what year, to roughly 2000, 2002. And almost all the books that I make sport wooden covers. The word book itself actually is from the Germanic word for birch or for beech tree, because books used to be covered, have wooden covers. And I really like that historical allusion. And so this piece of this tree fell, and I cut about 8 feet of it and quarter sawed that log, and I let those big billets of maple dry for about 5 or 6 years, and then I resawed those billets, being very careful to leave the outside edge of that that tree in several of those pieces. So the invitation when you're picking up that book is that you're actually picking up a tree, in a sense. You're opening up a tree. You're opening up something that normally you would never have a chance to open up. I don't know if that makes that experience come alive. It's very difficult to do in a description like this.
And you open it up, and there's black, thick black paper.
Yeah. So what?
Well, the paper actually was white.
Yeah.
Was it white?
Yeah. So the paper is all white. And
I'm gonna have to look at this again tonight.
Yeah. You'll look at it again, and you'll understand why it has to be white. Okay, so the all the paintings are made on a very thick paper. It's a printmaking paper actually that can withstand getting wet a lot of times. So my process of painting is a very fluid process. I get the paper wet over and over and over again, and I'm introducing pigments and binders and stuff onto that surface. In that process, and so that paper has to be very, very strong. And in this, you know, when you're trying to unite painting with text, there's this tradition of leaving blank space. Okay, and in Chinese, that's xiang xiang kong bai, which is a blank space for the imagination. And so I was at first, my first workings of that were leaving blank space, and I thought that I'll come in and print this in letterpress. Onto that. But then, as the process began to work more and more, I thought, well, gosh, I'm going to reverse this, because I had an idea. And it was a revolutionary idea. And so what I did was I reversed that process, and all the paintings were flooded with these black flows of carbon ink, which I cleaned away in places to reveal all these images and all these different minerals and fossilized teeth and all these crazy things that I used as pigments in those paintings. And then what appears to be black paper is it's actually a thin layer of carbon that's on the surface of the paper. And then I used a laser to actually engrave through that carbon. So I'm physically removing the carbon to reveal the paper below. So it's actually a three-dimensional space. So it makes that page allied with carving onto stone or carving onto wood or, you know, typically what would be a sort of monumental lettering that you might find in anywhere from the side of a bank to a graveyard.
Sure. Yeah. Where the U's look like V's in the old building.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I loved that. And the reason that I wanted to do that is that whereas the majority of that history of the printed word is a material addition to the paper itself, when you make it a material reduction, those letter forms are filled with air. They're filled with the very material which is breathing up through our voice boxes when we give word to the word, when we give sound to the word.
Spiritus.
Yeah.
Right? Spiritus. To breathe, right?
There you go.
So, and this is how many pages? This is like several, what, 10 some pages?
Yeah, so it's 18, it would be 18 spreads. So depending on how you want to look at a page, there's 18 original paintings in each book.
And how many copies?
There are 8 or 10 copies.
Right.
I'm sorry, I should know that, you know.
Well, no,
I painted about 350 paintings in the process of making this thing.
I want to know about that.
Yeah.
So each book is actually different. Each book is original. Each page is original, right.
Yeah. So for every book, all the text is the same, but the placement of the text varies from book to book because I had to place it within the field of the black carbon, okay? So that very first stanza that you read there at the beginning, if you were to open all 10 volumes of this book, you'd find a composition which is more or less the same. But because they're all painted by hand and there's no printing, no prep or anything like that, they're all slightly different and they all have slightly different characters. And so the angle of the line might shift, so I had to force that stanza down or up or to the left or to the right.
Yeah. These books go for $10,000 a piece.
Yeah, they're actually more than that now.
More than that?
Yeah,
they've gone up in value?
Yeah, they've gone up in value.
So museums, galleries, who bought copies of this?
Museums, there are copies in a couple of different museums, a few private collections. If you'd like to get one, we could reserve one for you.
You won't take a check, though.
Yeah, we don't take checks here. I prefer gold at this point. Yeah.